And welcome once again into the Soccer OG World Cup Daily. We are ripping through this World Cup. We told you it was going to come in thick and fast. We have so much to look forward to. I think I am going to go ahead now and make my predictions. What I did before was just a practice. I'm going to make my official predictions now. I mean, the USA are in the round of 16. We're going to have our USA-Netherlands preview here. Morocco won their group. Japan won their group. Who knows what happens tomorrow? We know Portugal's probably going to win their group. We know Brazil's going to win their group. Could we get more African teams? We have two in the knockouts for the first time since only the second time in the history of the World Cup. We have two Asian teams through. This is crazy. We knew because the game was turned, it was going to be in Qatar, that things could get thrown out of whack, and that's exactly what has happened. We're going to get into all the action. We may go a little heavy. Before we get started, a reminder, the Soccer OG World Cup Daily is available in audio format where all podcasts are available. You can see the video to see my fine collection of haberdashery and shirts, etc. here on my YouTube channel, Max Bretos. There are my social media handles. We're on TikTok, we're on Twitter, we are tweeting all day, and we are on Instagram. This wonderful program is brought to you by the fine folks at Farmer John. So get your day started with some nice, you can get the links too. Did I never even mention the links? They're delicious. They're like candy. Really is. It's like having a thing of Skittles. Not quite like that. Absolutely delicious. It's important to get off to a quick start. We're not at 2 a.m. anywhere, but on 7 a.m. Pacific time, we're going to be up early Saturday. So Saturday for the USA game, get a nice start. Excuse me there. Some bacon, some eggs, some hash browns, a little bit of toast, a nice steaming cup of coffee. Thanks to our friends at Farmer John, we are off and running. We also have a special guest. He is actor, comedian, Bernard van Bilderbeek. He's also Dutch. He'll talk about this Netherlands team. We'll see what he gets, what he thinks about. And I'm going to tell you in advance. I asked him to, he has a really good Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. And I asked him to do it today, and he's going to do it. What I didn't know is that he has an Arnold Schwarzenegger mask that you have to see to believe. So I want to brace you so it doesn't just come up out of nowhere. But that's coming up a little bit later here. So, I mean, we are stacked. Let's get into the game. The USA versus Netherlands. The USA, after missing the World Cup for 8.5 years, make it back. They are back in the round of 16 as they were in 2014, as they did in 2002, as they did in 2002, again, 1994. Go back to 1950 where they made some headway. But usually the US make the round of 16. They've made the quarterfinals. They're hoping to make the quarterfinals again for the first time since 2002, and man, they have a really good shot at it. I, for this program, late last night, I'm a little tired, because at around 11 p.m., I said, I am going to watch this Netherlands-Qatar game from pillar to post. Obviously, when we have the two games going on, you can't really lock into it. So I said, for you guys, I am going to sit through it. Then, as I sped through that in about an hour and 30 minutes, I watched the second half of Netherlands and Ecuador to get a good idea of what this Netherlands team is all about. And first of all, they are a very good squad. They, like the United States, did not qualify for the last World Cup. So they're coming back. The future looks very bright. There are question marks. This is a team that, even though they've had 5 goals, I think you could still classify them as a team that labors to score, much like the U.S. Very tidy defensively, haven't allowed that 1 goal to Ecuador. They should have lost the game to Ecuador. And now Ecuador, I'm sure, back home in Guayaquil and Quito, kicking themselves. Actually, the players are probably on vacation very quickly. One of the benefits of being knocked out of the World Cup, frankly, is that you get a little vacation. For the teams that are there for the duration, we got to take your hat off to the teams that make a semi or a final. Because remember, we get to the round of 16, and then the quarterfinals, then there's a couple days off. If you get to the final, you're going to be there till December 18th. So those players are going to, you know, it's quite a sacrifice they're making for our entertainment purposes. We appreciate that. So I'll get into this Dutch team in a moment, but first for the United States, the big news is the Christian Pulisic situation, and you also have Josh Sargent. So we, by the way, Christian Pulisic, he turned one of the great quotes of the World Cup when he was asked about the goal mouth situation after the goal, and he said, "I didn't get hit in the balls." Genius. Can we get some shirts printed out of that? "I didn't get hit in the balls." I mean, I want to walk around with that shirt. I mean, that red, white, and blue, hopefully for the Saturday game, it will be incredible. Christian Pulisic also telling the gathered media, "I'll be good." We don't know for 100% sure, because it comes down to Greg Berhalter, but Christian Pulisic, who, remember, has been a bit of a glass Joe, and that's a dated reference to a video game. Many of you will remember it, Punch-Out, where maybe he can't stay healthy. Well, not only is he staying healthy, but he's been one of the toughest and more durable players. 90 minutes, 90 minutes. He went 45 minutes against Iran because of the injury. He'll be looking to go another 90 minutes here. Josh Sargent, it's not 100% clear. Right ankle soreness. It looked like it could be worse. It just is a testament to the athlete that Josh Sargent is, that he could land on his leg like that and it didn't rupture in four pieces. He was able to maintain himself where he was walking around, jogging around at the end of the game. It was really impressive. Remember, he was there hugging his teammates. So Josh Sargent's going to be ready to go. And again, this is a once-in-a-lifetime game possibly, so these players are not missing it. So you have those two guys. I expect them to play. Other than that, the U.S. are a clean bill of health, which is pretty amazing because, you know, Weston McKennie's made it through here. You've had Sergiño Dest make it through here. Players that have gone and played every game, there's been very little changes. The CCV, the Cameron Carter-Vickers for Walker Zimmerman, and then the Haji Wright-Josh Sargent switch. Other than that, it's been the same lineup. And that's a good thing because it's been working for the U.S. There are some suspension issues. And this is looking ahead to a quarterfinal game, which would be, let's show the bracket. There it is. It would be either Argentina, Australia. This bracket's just amazing. I mean, it takes your breath away. We have Tim Ream, Kellen Acosta, Weston McKennie, Sergiño Dest, and Tyler Adams all on a yellow, so those guys can't get a yellow. I think it would be naive to think one of them doesn't pick up a yellow, so we could be short a player for the quarterfinals. But you can't think of the quarterfinals just yet. And I'll assure you that other teams will probably hit a snag or two in those quarterfinals as well. So the Netherlands, a similar thing, pretty clean bill of health, no suspension issues as they move forward into this game. And the United States, let me talk about the Netherlands first, because I think I want to get that out of the way before we really buckle into what the U.S. is all about. So I watched the games. One thing about the Netherlands and the way they play, and it is a cultural thing, and I think I've said it here before. The Netherlands is a very small country. If you've been to Amsterdam, you'll see it. The architecture there is truly remarkable. They build these thin, skinny little houses, and it is so ergonomic. You know, everything it fits. The farmers of the Netherlands, where they had to build these dams, Amsterdam, to hold the water back and build these cities and towns. It really is a modern marvel. So the thought that they manage space has filtered into their sport, into soccer. And going back to Johan Cruyff and the great ones like Ruud Gullit and Marco van Basten, it's all about managing space. It really is it's an incredible cultural development at how these things, the culture of a country is mirrored in their sport, and certainly in the Dutch, finding space. This team, which is coached by Louis van Gaal, does that. They have a very good tactic, and they look to find space, and they have players that are very good at doing that, in particular Cody Gakpo, who has been one of the true developments of this World Cup with what he's been able to do. He scored a goal in all three group games. He is right there to be one of the MVPs, an all-tournament player, depending how far the Dutch go. Cody Gakpo is very talented, and his finishes are very good. What impressed me the most about him is his work rate and finding space. There was a couple moments against Qatar where he was all the way here, and he does a beeline to help the back line. And he was the last man in defense on a couple occasions. He works really hard. Memphis Depay, I think, was supposed to be that featured goal-scoring guy, but Memphis hasn't scored. Not to say he hasn't, but he's not the same player from a couple years ago. Without Gakpo, this thing doesn't work for the Netherlands. That's why he is such a huge development for this team and why they are here. Even though they are, I think, top 10, 8th or 9th ranked team, very clean in qualifying, and again, haven't done defensively here. They weren't really pushed by Qatar. Qatar, along with what is the worst team in the group stages, unless something weird happens. I think they will be that. Canada's probably the second worst. When you're looking at goal differential and the fact that they didn't win a game. So Gakpo's really important. Now, the other thing that's really peculiar is Davy Klaassen, who kind of plays in the top of that midfield, but he's not a creative element. He is a support midfielder, and he plays in front of Frenkie de Jong, who really is the danger man. Frenkie de Jong's going to spray balls up, kind of like a Christian Eriksen, and he is going to find Depay and Gakpo, and if they can connect, and he'll play into space, like the Dutch like to do, and see if he can get on the end of those. The most prominent players for the Netherlands are in the back line. They'll play the back three. What it's been is Virgil van Dijk, Nathan Ake, and Timber. De Ligt could also get in there, but I think it seems to be Timber. I think Van Gaal likes him a little bit more. Then they have those wide players with Denzel Dumfries and Daley Blind. Daley Blind, the son of Danny, who's the assistant coach here. And then they move forward. What's, to me, it's De Jong and De Roon. Klaassen in front. Klaassen is just an oddity. You don't see players like this, especially with the Netherlands. And it's not the sexy offensive team. You don't have Robin van Persie or Wesley Sneijder or Arjen Robben. It's not that Dutch team. So it's not a team that really scares you with the ability to score. You've got to be careful of Depay, but really Gakpo is the guy. Klaassen is not going to even probably take a shot on target. He's there just to connect the dots. Again, what a responsibility to be this industrious midfielder who's just there to maybe make room for Frenkie de Jong. All that said, this is a Dutch team. When you look at it player for player with the United States, the U.S. are more impressive. Let's take a look at the U.S. lineup. It's going to be the same 11 if both Pulisic and Sargent are ready to go. If Sargent can go, I want to see Jesus Ferreira because of just the plotting effort from Haji Wright. I think Jesus Ferreira should be playing a role here. We will have Matt Turner. We will have Cameron Carter-Vickers. Now that he has been incorporated into the team, he is going to play there. He was excellent against Iran. He'll team up with Tim Ream, who has been maybe our most important player because we are a defensive team and he is our most important defender. Then you have Anthony Robinson on the left, Serginho Dest on the right, Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Yunus Musa, coming off a spectacular effort against Iran, Pulisic, Sargent, and Tim Weah. Then we'll see if Gio Reyna can come into this. I wanted to mention something about Gio Reyna as well, and the fact that his body language is bad. There is that hotel celebration where everyone's going all through, and Gio Reyna's got his headphones on. He's just walking through the celebration. Bad optics. Someone's got to talk to him. I know he's disappointed about not playing, but we don't want to see that. And we shouldn't be seeing that. Everyone should be having the time of their lives. I know Gio's disappointed he's not playing. He has to be. You're not playing in the World Cup. But we can't see that. We don't want to see that. Right? That is a big deal. So I know I saw Hercules Gomez talk about it. It is a big deal. So that's got to, if someone on the U.S. team saw it, they're going to go, look, Gio, I know how you're feeling. You can't convey that. We've got to have a united front. Hopefully he gets in the game here. Josh Sargent's interesting because I've had this discussion with people and we've always put pressure on our forwards to score goals. Well, that is not who we are. We're not. We are a defensive team. We have got something working very well. We are going to grind teams. We are not going to allow too many big opportunities, whether it was England, whether it was Iran, whether it's Wales. We were very economical about that. And we're in a situation where, like, Giroud for France 4 years ago, we're not demanding our forward to score. I just want us all to be on the same page for that, because I'm fine with it. But I don't think Josh Sargent's going to have many chances like he had against Iran. Maybe one sniff at goal, and that's fine. He can help create space. We saw him going on the flanks a lot, so to open spots for other guys who would slip inside of him. Again, it's all fine. Hold up play, etc. In that case, we're not going to be a team that's going to score multiple goals. We might, but don't expect it. This is a team that is, if they're up by a goal in the first half, don't be surprised if they bring in Walker Zimmerman and they play with five in the back and protect the results, especially against this Dutch team, which I think they can manage there if they can get their noses in front. The U.S. has not trailed in this World Cup. That's amazing. The U.S. also has not conceded a goal from open play, just the one penalty. These are great foundation stones for the U.S. So you have this team that I think wants to mirror the same game. And they've been lucky to have the same personnel out there. So the U.S. have a great opportunity. Josh Sargent is going to be, it's not a false nine, but it is a utility number nine. I'd love for him to get a goal, but I don't think it's coming from there. Pulisic, Weah, and maybe someone from the midfield, maybe someone off the bench. Now, as we look at that lineup, I say the U.S. have a better goalkeeper. The U.S. have better fullbacks. The U.S. have collectively a better midfielder. They have a better defensive midfielder in Tyler Adams. They have an attack. I would take Pulisic, Weah, Sargent over Gakpo and Depay. And it's just, when you look at the both sides, out of the 11 positions, I think I would take six, if not seven, of the U.S. players. Dead serious. In many ways, I would think they should be the favorite, even though they are not. The United States is, by the way, just one thing about the Gio Reyna distraction. I saw Jason Davis retweet something from the Helsinki Commission Twitter account that said, Gio Reyna will have a full opportunity against Holland. First of all, it's not Holland. We can't say Holland. Holland is not the Netherlands. It's not the full country. The Helsinki Commission of Security Oversight in Europe that looks around, you know, stocks, etc. It's just weird that that would come out of it. So having looked at the Netherlands and looked at the U.S. are better. The U.S. are better. Doesn't mean they're going to win, because the Netherlands, I mean, this is, again, this is a group winner that you want to play. I have seen enough. I've looked at RVP, Arjen Robben, Wesley Sneijder are not walking through that door. The bench, the U.S. might have an inch. I mean, they're bringing Vincent Janssen off the bench. This is, it's not a pot. Louis van Gaal is, he's 70 years old. He's very reserved and doesn't really get up or animated like most of the managers do. I like the fact that Greg Berhalter is working that sideline and communicating. The U.S. is athletic. The U.S. is fast. The United States are going to win this game. It's going to be like the others. They're going to win it 1-0. It's going to be a lot of suffering. They have a formula, and they're going to use this. I truly believe the U.S. is a better team. They move on 1-0, and they would likely face Argentina, but we won't get ahead of that right now. The Soccer OG World Cup Daily, there is your U.S. preview. We'll be back. We'll look back at the games from Thursday. We'll preview a little bit from Friday. We'll have our guest, Bernard Van Bilderbeek, here in a moment. We are back. Let's get through these games, starting in Group F, the early games from Thursday, Croatia and Belgium. This felt like a knockout stage game. I really enjoyed it. It's going to be known as the Romelu Lukaku game. He could have had three or four goals. Croatia having got that big blowout win over Canada. We're in the driver's seat. Belgium losing to Morocco, needed to get the victory. Man, did they have some chances. We have given a lot of grief to this Belgium team, but I mean, they were this close to making the knockouts. It's just about getting right at the right moment, but they don't do it. Roberto Martinez stepping away from the team afterwards after, I think, what, 7 years in charge. Belgium at one point was the number one team in the world. And Kevin De Bruyne is going to be criticized a fair bit because of this result. I thought Kevin De Bruyne had a good game, but he has been disconnected. The problem for Belgium is what happened earlier in this group. They did get the victory over Canada, but the loss to Morocco, and it saw them slip down behind this Croatian effort. But it was right to the end. I really believe Belgium was going to win this. And then Lukaku, I felt really bad for him. I mean, it was hit one off the post. If it wasn't Lukaku, who was really a damaged player in this competition, Batshuayi, if he was in there, he probably finishes one of these chances. It just happened to be Lukaku. He was bent over. He was emotional. This is something that's going to stick with him for a long time. Croatia, very professional as they got through here. Josko Gvardiol, the 20-year-old center back, has been the real breakthrough star. There's a link to Chelsea already. He had this incredible tackle right at the doorstep as he swept it away from Lukaku. He's wearing that mask. He looks hard as nails. Luka Modric, to me, looks like a player that could play till he's 50. He knows how to exert his energy. And you have enough of an effort there between the groups of attacking players. But Modric is key. Croatia now move on. And this is going to be, they're going to face the Japanese. We look at the bracket again. Let's look at that bracket again. You got to like where they're at. Croatia knows how to navigate through this tournament. They got that young defender. I love that group back there. Kramaric, who scored the two goals. He could certainly get back in the mix here. And here we go. Final thought on Belgium. One goal in three games. And people want to take the shine off of the fact that we can't call them the golden generation. All right, Belgium had a great player back in the day named Enzo Schifo. And in the 90s, they made a semifinal in Mexico 1986, but it was a weird path. They kind of got a good break. They had a couple upsets. Then they ran into Maradona in the semifinals and got the doors blown off of them. There's that very famous photo of Maradona with the three Belgian players. It wasn't a great Belgium team. They just happened to make a semifinal. Belgium, before this team, after 2002 and then until 2014, didn't make major competitions. They were a backwater. But Belgium, it's not a tiny country, but it's not a large country. And you didn't even think about Belgium. This group came around. They made the quarterfinals in 2014, pushed Argentina to the brink. In 2018, they beat Brazil. They beat Japan in an incredible game, coming from behind two goals. They made the semifinals, had some Euro success. This is the golden generation. They also made household names of about 20 players along the way. Put some respect on this team. I think most Belgians would agree that they're disappointed because there's no silverware out of this. But this was an incredible ride this team was able to give. Morocco, Canada. Morocco wins the group for the first time since 2014. The only time since in the World Cup history, two African teams make it through the round of 16. That time it was Algeria and Nigeria. Morocco wins the group. And Senegal are through. We might get Ghana in there as well, which would be a record-breaking move as well. Canada, a quick word on them. John Herdman did wonderfully to get this team here and to develop this their own golden generation. We want to see that generation grow towards 2026. They've already qualified for that World Cup. He should be back. I don't think Canada's going to splurge money on someone else, but John Herdman certainly has earned that spot to be with this team. These players love him, and now we got to see. He's got to learn the mistakes that he provided here. I mean, he had one really bad game. The Belgium game, they should have won. It classifies as a huge missed opportunity, and they were competitive here. They fell behind 2-0. They got an own goal late, and they really pushed Morocco and could have damaged their chances of winning the group. So it is, Morocco is going to play Spain now, so they don't get any favors there. But I wouldn't underestimate this Morocco team. They got to give a lot of credit to Walid Regragui, who was the manager. Unofficially, they were a top eight team. He got all these guys on the same page, in particular Hakim Ziyech, who was happy. He scored another goal. Youssef El Nesri scored a goal too. Ziyech scored that goal off a horrible mistake from Milan Borjan. And Ziyech is now, to me, one of the five or six big stories player-wise at this World Cup. And even bigger if Morocco can go past Spain, which, again, I like their chances. I think Spain's the favorite, but Morocco certainly have a team capable of doing it. They're good everywhere, and they're, you could see in this group, teams don't like to play them. And they're oozing with confidence. They're healthy and moving forward. A tremendous effort here for Morocco. Fun to watch. Good luck to Maroc moving forward as they try to make those quarterfinals. They have a real good shot here. Spain and Japan, we go over to Group E. Japanese beat Spain 2-1. Once again, they proved to be a second-half team, getting those results very late. They won this game with 17% possession, which seems like an impossibility. And Japan joined Australia from the Asian Confederation in the round of 16. Another spectacular achievement there. They win the group ahead of Germany and Spain. I thought they'd finish second. I thought they were better than the Germans. They showed that with the victory. They trailed Germany. They came back. They trailed Spain. They came back. All the goals in the second half. The use of the bench for Japan was huge. Ritsudan scoring again. He has two goals in this tournament. Ao Tanaka scored 48th, 51st minute. Controversy on that second goal because VAR did not say the ball was out of play. You've probably seen the replays. I thought it was out. It's so close. But I did see some green between the ball and the boundary. But if that ball was ruled out, then you would have seen Germany get through. So it's a big, big moment. Japan win two wins in two different games at World Cup. They have really achieved something special. We'll see if they can keep it going here when they face Croatia. That's going to be an entertaining game. I think it's a 50-50. That's a coin flip for me, considering what Japan has been able to do. Costa Rica and Germany. Germany wins it 4-2. Costa Rica gave us a thrill for a moment there. Costa Rica was in the round of 16. They led Germany 2-1, and Spain was out. And a lot of the German, some of the German public are saying there's a controversy that Spain lied down. Spain did not lie down. They were pressing late. They were trying to win this, even though Spain, by finishing second, did themselves a favor because now they get Morocco in a round of 16, which is a favorable matchup, and they get out of the top side of the bracket, which would have meant they would have faced Argentina, I believe, in the quarters, and Brazil in the semis. So Spain, by losing, may have actually won. So I will say that Germany out, this list of UEFA teams getting knocked out is pretty startling. Wales, Denmark, Belgium, Germany. We almost lost Spain too. We thought that the European teams would not put a stamp on this like they've done in past World Cups, and clearly that's going to happen. A European team might win it, might have two European teams in the final, but it seems very unlikely right now, especially with Brazil and Argentina there, Morocco and Japan and the United States. It's a true World Cup. Cherish this because it's not always like this. Manuel Neuer was terrible. Can't believe what I saw from him. They figured things out. Serge Gnabry scoring the 10th minute, then the two goals by Costa Rica, Yeltsin Tejada, and then an own goal by Neuer. Kai Havertz would come off the bench, score a couple goals. Niklas Füllkrug would score two. Jamal Musiala was spectacular, but he just couldn't score a goal. It was still fun to see him watch. He's a beautiful player, but Germany got problems, man. Second straight World Cup, they don't get out of the groups. That's historic. And back-to-back World Cup failures. Costa Rica had chances, and that was the thing that you got to be a little worried if you are Germany. They had good chances. They just ran out of steam. Will be interesting to see what happens moving forward with this Costa Rica team because we didn't see the young players. There are some good young Tico players that didn't get called up. I don't know why Brian Ruiz was brought in here. He didn't even get off the bench. It's just why? If an older player is not going to play, bring in a kid so they can experience that. That drives me bonkers. Final thing, I meant to say this yesterday, Stephanie Frappart, all-female crew, did a great job, very clean. I thought they, and we don't want to make a big deal because it's a women's crew that they were able to do this, but there were, there's been issues at every other game, including the other Group E game, There wasn't any here. A real pro. The one thing about Stephanie Frappart, which was crazy, she's very small. She must be about 5 feet tall and 110 pounds. So you see her running there, but she had control of it. She was never far from the play. Well done. It's such a big pressure spot for her because if there is a bad screw up, everyone will say that. Not everyone, but people go, well, we're not ready for a women referee. She didn't do that. And that's a big burden on her shoulders, and she answered it in a big way. Final day of the groups tomorrow, South Korea and Portugal in Group H, 7 a.m. game. Portugal lead the group 6 points. They haven't claimed top spot yet, so they have something to play for. Ghana's got 3 points. South Korea, Uruguay, a point apiece. This is going to be a South Korea team that, to me, were so disappointed after they lost to Ghana. They dominated Ghana, had like 23 shots. But after the game, Son Heung-min was in tears. It was bad optics. It looked like they already got knocked out of the World Cup, but they haven't. If they win this game, it doesn't mean they're going to qualify. They need some help, I think, from Uruguay. But a win puts them in that position. We've seen how many crazy things have happened. Why not South Korea? Big spot for them. I mean, their coach won't be there. Paulo Bento sent off because he was upset at the end of the game against Ghana. A game that they lost 3-2. They came back from 2 goals down to tie it. It was a very emotional end. Cho Kyu-sung scored those 2 goals. I imagine he plays a role here. Big spot is Kim Min-jae. And I said in the last game, one of the best defenders at the World Cup, but he's not 100%. He is going to be a late fitness test. They need him. But if he can't play, you don't put him in there at 70, 80% because he was on the hook for the final go. He has a calf injury. By the way, Spurs looking to sign him for like $50 million. So it could be a really good post-World Cup for Kim Min-jae. Portugal, it's about Ronaldo, and I love this Portugal team despite Ronaldo. They want to win this group so they can avoid the Brazilian challenge in the not-too-distant future if they finish second. And they have injuries. Nuno Mendes injured. Danilo's out. Pepe is in. So the Pepe matchup, he probably gets in there again. And Ronaldo didn't score a goal. Bruno Fernandes had 2 goals. Remember, it skimmed off the top of his head. But he has 8 goals in 5 World Cups. He wants to get that 9th, which would be historic. And the big news about Ronaldo, you probably heard about this, is this Saudi Al Nassr is looking to give him a $200 million a year, roughly, deal to play there. I mean, it's an obscene amount of money. It's just obscene because they could, if he says no, they could come back and say, we'll give you $300 million. That's the kind of money they're dealing with. That will give you $1 billion. It's just weird. It's just too much money. It's too much money, oil money. Anyhow, it would be weird to see Ronaldo in Saudi Arabia. With all this talk of Lionel Messi coming to Major League Soccer, the two big stars still have a lot to give. Ghana, Uruguay, this really is the game of this group. Want to talk about Luis Suarez, who was interviewed. And the journalist asked if he would like to apologize for the handball that occurred in 2010. Famous moment in World Cup history. Ghana about to score. Suarez handles the ball. And Ghana take the penalty, but miss the penalty. Uruguay advance. They end up going to the semifinals of the World Cup. To me, one of the greatest spectacles I've ever seen. If we can get more games like that with excitement and controversy, sign me up. I want to talk about that because he kind of recoiled a little bit. Luis Suarez may not start this game. I don't think he should. He's just not there. He's an older player that I think should not be at this World Cup. He did not apologize for the handball. He said, the Ghana player missed the penalty, not me. But I want to talk about these journalists asking these off-the-cuff questions. We had it with the Iranian journalist talking to Tyler Adams. Stop it! Stupid questions. Don't waste our time here. I mean, you should get one chance. If you ask a dumb question, you're not allowed back in. Because this is a waste of everyone's time. Why should he apologize? It was a brilliant play. He put his World Cup on the line. He knew he was going to get red carded. The rules say that if he handles the ball, you get a penalty. If FIFA changes it the IFAB or whatever changes it where if you handle it, then you get an automatic goal, that's something different. He knew he could do that. He did it. It paid off. He doesn't have to apologize to anyone. I know this is a big game for Ghana, and with Luis Suarez playing or not, they're going to go for it. Uruguay needs to win to have any shot. Ghana advances with a win, can advance with a draw as well, depending on what happens in the other game. Ghana have 5 goals. They are fun to watch, and they're hoping to get a third African team. I think they have a real good shot here. Mohamed Kudus, we've talked about him. He has 2 goals. Much like Kim Min-jae and Cody Gakpo, he's in the shop window, and Barcelona and Liverpool have been linked to him. He's that good. Iñaki Williams will probably start and lead the line. Love Thomas Partey. And finally, Ronald Araujo still doesn't sound like he's going to be ready for this game for Uruguay. I apologize. I know I ripped through all of this, but I wanted to give you a little taste of all these games while giving you the USA preview. Plus, we have an interview. Prepare for the Arnold Schwarzenegger mask. Actor, comedian, Bernard van Bildebeek, Netherlands fan, coming up next. Well, we looked long and hard to find a great guest here who can fill us in on the Dutch World Cup effort. So we brought in famed British/Dutch comedian actor, Binky Bernard van Bildebeek. How excited are you for the Dutch effort? Made the round of 16 after you guys didn't make the World Cup.
Well, this was a surprise for me because I don't think Holland have been really living up to their expectations. A little bit wobbly.
You're not excited about winning the group?
You know what? I have to be perfectly honest. I wasn't that excited. I thought the Senegal game was a bit touchy. They got 2 late goals that I think they were lucky to get. They look a little lackluster to me.
The Ecuador game, I thought they were outplayed. Would you agree? And
I thought so too. I thought they were lucky to get away with just a draw there.
You've watched all 3 games.
I've watched all 3 games, yeah. And I wore my jersey.
Well, that's good.
But I thought the games were just a bit lackluster. I thought Virgil van Dijk looks a little slow, looks a little bit pedestrian in spells of the game. And the game against Qatar, there were spells of the Qatar were moving the ball around, I thought, better than Holland were.
What about Cody Gakpo?
Well, I think he's got a lot of potential. He's a great player, but I just don't see the surging runs of great Dutch forwards of the past. You know, Iron Robin and Robin and Van Persie and Van Nistelrooy. You just don't see these, you know, fiery attacks running at defenders from the Dutch. I really want to see more of that, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think it's coming, or is this like because I'm listening to you, and I think most of the listeners who are here for the U.S. team, they're going to be pretty optimistic because I know you. You are very obtuse with your praise for the Dutch, and it's not coming this time.
No, I'm very scared about the U.S. game. I'm not optimistic for the Dutch at all. Hmm. They look very sharp, the U.S. They look hungry. They look aggressive. They look as if they really want it. They want it. The Dutch don't. They haven't produced any excitement for me at all. Pulisic being out is probably a really good thing for the Dutch.
Well, we don't know that yet. We don't know if he's out yet, but we hope. But what would you like to see from the Dutch? Where would you like to see an improvement?
I want to see more aggressive tacking with the forwards. I think Memphis Depay is over it. He can't hold on to the ball. He's giving away ridiculous passes, losing possession. I just don't think that Davy Klaassen is playing to his potential.
Is it a situation where they could kick in, or do you think this is?
I don't know. I think this is it. I think that Holland will be very lucky to get a win on Saturday against the U.S. I'm a huge Dutch supporter. I just don't think that the team is firing on all cylinders. There seems to be a disconnect in midfield, and they're not getting the ball to the forwards, and then the forwards are just not doing enough work. I don't think. I think it was they're just playing boring football.
Yeah. So this is obviously a very serious conversation, and I haven't really heard this so much. A lot of people are praising the Dutch, but I've been kind of on your side. I'm like, I haven't really, it feels like there's a higher gear, but we haven't really seen it, right? They've been consistently at a regular gear.
Yes. I mean, they're not moving through the gears like you used to see the Dutch in 2010 getting to the final, even in 2014 when they were beaten in a penalty shootout against Argentina. I mean, they were pressing. You don't see that right now with the Dutch squad. I don't know what it is.
About Van Gaal? Van Gaal, you've seen?
I mean, he's a hero for the Dutch. I mean, he's a successful coach. He's probably one of the most successful coaches in Dutch football history. Don't see much animation that he used to. I mean, it might be his age or his struggle with his recent prostate cancer issues, but you see him kind of sitting on the bench a lot next to Edgar.
Yeah. Edgar Davids.
Doesn't seem to like he's, you know, if you remember that great goal that Van Persie scored from Blind against the Spanish, I mean, he was up with the shirt.
You're right. High-fiving him.
Doesn't seem to have that same.
That's interesting.
Same kind of energy. So what? I don't know. I think, as you know, in these tournaments, the managers play a big part.
Yeah, they do.
Games. They really have to. The team has to take their lead, and Van Gaal has that ability, and it seems to be lacking a little bit in this tournament.
What have you thought about this World Cup? Have you enjoyed it by and large? Have you been entertained? Obviously, we know it's a different World Cup. You got it in the wintertime, and stadiums aren't as festive as usually.
I think it's, for me, I may be speaking for other people, I'm not feeling the excitement as we used to in past World Cups. It has something to do with the time of year. Everybody's slowing down for the Christmas season. I don't think that the Premier League managers, Jurgen Klopp, for one, are very happy about this. I know Pep Guardiola is not happy. They're very frightened about players getting injured in this World Cup and this late stage in their season. Usually they have the summer to shake off these injuries from a tournament like the World Cup or the Euros. I think the tournament being held in Qatar hasn't been a very successful one so far as I'm concerned. You know, I've got an issue with the criticism for the non-alcoholic drinking and the non-alcohol drinking in the stadiums, and the LGBTQ issue is a problem. But
you're saying just because they should be accepting of the way Qatar is.
Yeah.
They're the host. Okay.
The host nation, and they have traditions and laws and rules that must be abided by. I mean, this is something that we've seen through the last few years with FIFA and the allegations of bribes. And we know that Qatar didn't have the infrastructure. They only had to build 12 brand new stadiums. They didn't have the hotels or the roadways or the infrastructure to host such an event, which is the biggest sporting event in the world.
This has been a very serious interview. Maybe we could change the tenor a little bit, because I know you do a very good Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. And I know Arnold's a big World Cup fan. Could you channel Arnold?
Hold on a minute. Good morning, good afternoon. How are you? It's nice to see you, Max. And it's so fantastic here to talk about the game of soccer. Now, usually I don't really like soccer that much.
Why not, Governor? I mean, Arnold.
Well, the thing is, they put my name on that stupid stadium in Austria. And I wanted them to take it off because I wasn't want to be associated with these girly men who are always feigning injuries. I had big injuries in my life. I had a quadruple heart bypass. That's nothing compared to these little girly men who are as if they had been by a sniper.
You don't like the diving. You don't like the simulation.
The diving is this pathetic. And then they have this stupid video playback, which is...
Oh, VAR, you mean?
Don't like that. No.
You don't want instant replay.
No, not for instant replay for soccer, but lots of instant replay for the flexing. You got to get that down. Always smiling. Always pointing to the stars.
Are you still lifting, Arnold?
I'm lifting every day. I take an Uber or a Lyft. Oh, you mean lifting? You mean lifting as in the dumbbells? Yeah.
I meant lifting is in the weight room.
The lift to the lifting.
The lift.
I'm not endorsing that app education for cars right
Wait,
now.
okay. Arnold, do you have a who do you think is going to win this World Cup?
I think Austria have a really great chance of winning the World Cup for the first time in the history. What?
I got some bad news for you, Arnold. They're not in
What?
the World Cup.
Oh, that's a problem for me then. It's in your moment, I think. I
About the
think
Germans?
Australia. I think
Australia. Australia, there
Australia
you
have
go.
a great chance of winning the World Cup, and I hope the Socceroos suck it to them. I hope they take apart Argentina because I like the way the meat tastes in Australia better.
Well,
Kangaroo meat is much better than cow meat.
I don't know where to go with that. But Arnold and Binky, thank you for joining us. Good luck to the Dutch. I know that it doesn't sound you don't sound too optimistic, but you never know. Best of luck. It should be a good game.
I mean, the Dutch will be playing for a defensive game. I think that the U.S. are going to take it to them. They've got a lot of momentum behind them, and it just doesn't feel like a World Cup where Holland have the talent and the desire. So
Right. Well,
we'll
we'll
see.
see. Your pessimism is making me more terrified of the Dutch, quite frankly. So I don't know what to say. But
I don't.
hey, we'll revisit. We'll revisit after they come. That's Binky Bernard van Bilderbeek and
Thanks,
Arnold
Mac.
also making an appearance. Make sure you check out the Soccer G World Cup Day. We'll be here every day, and hopefully with the USA victory. I don't want to disappoint Binky, but we'll see.
Hop, hop, Holland, hop,
Hop
Holland.
Holland.